This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
I want to talk about something that I've heard people question, and I think it's worth addressing. Now, that is that people look at their situation in the material world, and they look at the environment that they're in, and the implications of their actions, and the complications of their predicament, and they go, is everybody a candidate for spiritual life? Are there people who can't be awakened, or can't get their act together, or can't be made to understand what is of importance? And if there is that category, what about the rest of us? We may have the opportunity, but what is it that makes someone interested or not interested in improving themselves and coming to a higher concept and even a higher platform of experience and in realization? So, in essence, what we're saying is, who is a divine being and who is not a divine being? And this question comes from the fact that people don't understand the actual identity of the living entity, who you are, and here's the big one, what you are. Because the Vedic literature approaches spirituality from a scientific explanation, meaning that they are actually explaining to you your constitutional position. Now, it's just like if you take a bicycle, and each of those things that forms a bicycle has its role. There are two wheels. There is a set of handlebars. There is a drive chain. There are components that have specific functions. Similarly, this material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation and the interaction, control, maintenance, etc. of either one of them has a method. And in that method, everything plays a unique role. Now, the Vedic literature is clear to explain that the Lord has unlimited energies, and He is able to manifest what He desires in multiple levels of complexity and manipulate anything. And this is why we say that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna has omnipotency and omnipresence. All right? And we see that His energies, in fact, His energies are classified in the Vedic literatures as three principal energies in an unlimited number of other varieties. And the three principal energies are spirit, matter, and you and I, living entities. And we're called marginal living entities. Why marginal? The reason is because if we're influenced by the spiritual energy, our eternal spiritual nature manifests. And if we're influenced by the material elements, and atmosphere, our materialistic aspects manifest and our spirituality becomes covered. Now, here lies the secret to our subject today, and that is, the divinity is by definition, but the situation can be changed. Just like my hand is very sensitive until I put it in a glove, and then it's, well, it could be still quite sensitive, or it could be completely numbed out. And that's our situation. It's like a seed. You throw a seed on barren ground, you have very little chance it will produce a plant. But you put it in fertile ground, and there's every possibility. Here it comes, plant, bang, couple days. So, our situation, if we look at the definition, what are we? We are eternal parts and parcels of the eternal Lord. God is able to take a molecule, a particle, whatever that term is correct, and that individual particle is given independence permanently, and that is a living entity. And the Lord manifests huge quantities, unlimited, uncountable quantities of living entities. And every one of us has an individual identity. Now, I'm not saying that we're independent and have broken our relationship with the Supreme. No. I'm saying that we have independence and we can act as we see fit. And then we stop and we look at the material energy. This material manifestation is giving us the facilities where we can use our independence in any way we see fit and manipulate the manifestation. The millions and billions and trillions of living entities that are all over this planet and every other planet and all over this universe and every other universe, all of those living entities have an independence and they have a free will because of that, and they're able to move, manipulate, act, react as individuals. So looking back again now to what we're talking about is we're talking about an eternal spiritual spark that is separated from the eternal Supreme Lord. And the Lord is all spiritual. He's able to produce material inferior energy, but it is not what he is. And he has taken a particle, you or I, and that is of the same nature as the source. Now, the Vedic literature describes how you can take a piece of gold from the gold mine, and it's the same as all the rest of the gold. You can take a drop of water from the ocean, it's the same as the rest of the ocean. It's a particle, but its structure, its makeup is the same. Similarly, our structure and makeup is the same as the Lord's. Our characteristics, our features, our abilities, etc. But they're very, very small in potency. And the Lord's are unlimited. But the point we're covering here is that the divinity, the spirituality, the eternal aspect, the consciousness aspect, that is all, by definition, who you really are. And it is divine. You and I and every living entity are, by construction, we are of the divine nature. Now, it can be that the covering of this material world so smothers those divine good qualities that the opposite manifests, totally negative, demonic, unsympathetic, uncompassionate, manifests as the nature of some living entities. Now, inside it all, there is a divinity, but it can be so covered that there is nothing, none of it shining through, just the consciousness. So everyone has potential to reawaken their divinity. Some people act in such a way and have values or concerns of such types that they do not, will not, have not, cannot get themselves back to a purified divine state. And they are called, in this material manifestation, demonic by nature. But the average person who is more or less innocent, not completely aware of his divinity, not completely aware of the manifestation, how it works, how he's controlled, how he's limited, what his options are, how to use his independence, his free will, how to make use of the level of education you have, the importance of taking education from the spiritual master as opposed from mundane education system. The person who doesn't quite have that all worked out, they're still called innocent. And they can be influenced either way. This is why we're called marginal. Marginal means you have a susceptibility in either direction. And so that means that you can become, by bad association, you can become ill-natured, unproductive, impious, cruel, etc. And similarly, by good association, you can become enlightened, compassionate, truthful, dedicated, helpful, philanthropic, devotional, divine being. So the issue is, when we look at this potential, we can go to the right, we can go to the left, we can go up, we can go down. We can change our position by our actions and our perspective and our endeavor. But what is best? What is going to reap the results of the benefits that you are actually desirous of? What is going to really fulfill you? And this is when you have to look at the constitutional position. The Supreme Lord Krishna has created the individual living entities. The nature of the living entities is fine. Now the activities of the living entities are up to you. As an individual, you get to choose. I do good, I do bad. You get to choose minute by minute by minute of your entire existence, whether it's in this life or the next life or the last or many future ahead of you. It's your decisions that determine what you get in return. Now, the Vedic literature teaches that one should, at that point, when he realizes that he has an eternal living entity, and his choices and actions influence his path of life, that is when you must accept the spiritual master. And the spiritual master can enlighten the disciple because he's seen the truth. He knows the truth. He knows what action leads to what result. He knows how to explain the situation so you use your independence correctly. He knows to what degree you have independence, such that something can or cannot be achievable by you. And this brings a clarity and a reality to your existence. Because you're now able to discern between good and bad activities. You're now able to chalk out a goal and that's attainable. And you're able to act in such a way. And you're also given a methodology where you can avoid those things that bring you down. And you can focus on those things that enlighten you. So we can, each of us, develop the godly qualities. We can act in a pious, beneficial, benevolent, compassionate, intelligent, truthful fashion. But we need to be trained because our environment is that marginal atmosphere that sometimes pulls you up and sometimes pulls you down. In that marginal atmosphere, the energies are very subtle and strong. And anyone at any level, at any walk of life, at any degree of spiritual awakening can be influenced and slip, or can be influenced and wake up. So all of this can happen. And it's relative to your conscious awareness of what is happening and what your potential is. We do not have an education system. We do not have a government department. We do not have clubs that teach you who you actually are and what you actually are. They are all speculating about what you should do. They're not defining the actual situation of what you are. They're looking at what you should do. Oh, you should meditate. Oh, you should work hard. You should get a job. I don't know. You should fight with these people. You should whatever. You should become a sport hero. You should become a newspaper man. You should become a broadcaster. You should become a doctor, a lawyer. All of these things they talk about what you should do. But if you're not aware of what result you're going to get for doing those things, that's called a precarious situation. And you may do things that are to your benefit, and you may also do things that are to your detriment. And the Vedic literature says you don't have enough time to experiment with everything and all of this. You need to take a spiritual master so that you understand these things without experimenting. You understand these things by hearing. And when you hear the instructions from the spiritual master and you understand what you are, how you got here, how to act, what is really important, you automatically develop good qualities. You begin to transform Because as marginal living entities, you are influenced. And the influence of the pious, intelligent, knowledgeable input from the spiritual master, you begin to wake up. It's said in the Vedic literature that a human being takes birth by the parents. That's his first birth. And he takes birth by the spiritual master who gives him transcendental knowledge. That's the second birth. So this opportunity breeds the development of enlightenment. And enlightenment, you revive your divine qualities. Because originally you're divine. You're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And as a part and parcel of God, you have God's characteristics. And that means you have the potency to be divine. All good. All benevolent. This is what God is. Everyone knows that God is all good. The negativity we see in the world is not God's doing. It's man's misuse of his free will. And we see it in every walk of life now because there's no education. No one's being educated as to what to do and what not to do. They're not informed as to the reactions that you earn by this or that or the other type of activity. So we have an uneducated society that's actually just working on impulse, desires. Without any knowledge of the result, without any knowledge of the beneficial or non-beneficial qualities of their acts. And because of this, society is naturally degrading. If you don't know better, you only do within what you know. And if what you've been trained is wrong, it's like I've said many times, most of you listening to me have not made a conscious decision to become a meat eater. It was introduced to you at such a young age that you don't know differently. But you did not make a conscious decision. And this is true of many aspects of our lives. We, by association, by familiarity, by practice, and the standard that we're exposed to, we adopt perspectives and habits that we consider to be normal. But we didn't make any conscious evaluation. We didn't analyze what's good or bad. We didn't evaluate what is right or wrong. We didn't make a conscious decision. That is, I've decided that is good. I'll continue to do that. I've decided that is bad. I will never do that again. Society's not doing that. The education is not there. The awareness, the stimulation to try to be aware about this, to look at many of the serious subjects that you actually take for granted, it's not being propagated. So we have a society that will, of course, naturally fall down. People aren't being trained and people aren't desiring to achieve their highest potential, to become the best they can be. Oh, yeah, you'll get somebody who's playing sport and they'll go, give 110%, go, go, go. Which is absolutely childish beyond description. But we can see that with the motivation of determination to do the best you can do, you could become divine by practice. Not just by creation, what you are, but how you act, what you see, what you value, what you do. So our responsibility is to reach our highest potential, to become an enlightened, liberated soul, liberated from the clutches of illusory conceptions, get free of it, done. And making positive contribution to the reality of life. And in this method, you're stimulating and encouraging others to try to reach their potential. We see this with sport heroes. They go to the schools and tell the kids, you can do it, you can do it, try, try. And the kids all want to become a bike rider or a rower or a ball player or a golfer or a... So if we were actually enlightened beings who showed compassion, intelligence, wisdom, knowledge, a commitment to the truth, a commitment to love of God, people would do that. The kids would all go, cool, yeah, I want to do right. I want to be a good person. I want to make a real positive contribution. I want to be known for a great person, kind person. But that's not what's happening. They're not looking to improve and mold and stimulate godly qualities within the children. Because the whole society is slipping. They go in and they teach their children, you eat meat. They don't know why they eat meat. It's been just introduced to them. And so they turn around and they pass on the same issue and introduce it to their children. And so the trend continues. But they're completely unaware of, is there a reaction, a cost? What is the result of killing and eating animals? Very few people. Now, 99% of the people eat animals. But very few people actually examine what is the result, the impact. And if you look at it, the impacts will absolutely stop your heart. The issues that are being caused, the negative issues that are being caused by man eating animals is absolutely, well, what can I say? I can't overstate it. The impact on society and the impact on our economy and the impact on the planet and the impact on our future, the karmic reaction, the contamination caused by it, the inefficiencies of that method, the whole thing is absolutely amazing. And if you actually study, if you actually look into, well, why do I eat meat and is it good or bad? You will be shocked at how bad it actually is. And people go, well, I'm healthy. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. I'm not killing the animal myself. It's okay. But there's huge implications. And the people should look at it so that they can improve themselves, their own predicament, their own future, and that of the society by it becoming less than the standard. Not everybody's standard. The exception to the rule. Most people won't eat an animal. That is when the consciousness of the human society will have a chance to reach its potential. When we stop doing things that actually frustrate our development. Now, I mentioned this when we started. And that is, the spiritual master gives you certain rules that show you how to maintain a higher conscious society. And the rules automatically show you that this society is not a higher conscious society, and the direction it's going cannot lead to anything beneficial. Because the rules that the spiritual master puts out, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, says that there are things that you must avoid to achieve enlightenment. And the spiritual master repeats those instructions. So those instructions that would actually lead you to that higher consciousness are not being followed. Our society, the human society on the planet today, has been formed and is based around exactly the opposite. Breaking those principles and exploiting those resources. So irrespective of whether we choose to be divine or we don't, if we're broken down and we're already in the ditch, it's not going to matter how fast your car goes. You're in the ditch. Your life is in a contaminated state. It doesn't matter how divine or not divine you are, because you're stuck. You first must realize that this society, and you included, you're stuck. Stuck in conceptions that have been given to you, inherited. Not even conscious decisions you made. Not even an expression of your true potential or your true desires. People are being falsely given desires of fame and fortune. Dress code. And these things have no permanent value. But those things that do seriously impact the future of your life and your existence, such as killing innocent animals and eating them because you're too lazy to grow anything, has a very negative impact on your future. Not just your now, future. The impact it has on the now is it contaminates the brain. And you don't think that there's anything above what you're doing. We see so many people going, I'm happy where I am. Never mind. Leave me alone. I'm fine. Don't bother me. You go do what you want to do. Leave me alone. Yes, that's fine. You have that free will. But there, any friend would say to you, sir, I'm warning you. Don't do that. It leads to something bad. And you should take that advice from a friend. Someone says to you, don't run red lights. I think I can understand that. Yeah, crash, whoops, broken things, all sorts of stuff could happen. So yeah, don't run red lights. Now you still have the free will, go run a red light if you want. And this is the situation. There are things you need to understand that the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead are delineating to you to help you avoid trouble. And to help you wake your consciousness to your true potential. This is where reality comes to home. If you start to think and understand on that platform, you will find out you are divine. You're just not showing it. And you need to understand how to show it and get busy doing it and reap the rewards and impact positive on everyone around you. Then you see the fulfillment that you didn't even know you could reach. A real fulfillment of heart and mind, happiness in the real sense. Because you're in your natural position again, and your divine nature shines through, and your warm heart becomes open, and your interaction and communications with everyone becomes a source of encouragement and enjoyment simultaneously. Then you're qualified to be a servant of God and develop love of God, and do a higher assignment, a higher work, of enlightening others and encouraging others to achieve their highest goal. So take it for granted. You are of divine nature. You need to work on that and exhibit it and reap the rewards that are automatically there. You do bad things happen to you. You do divine things happen to you. And your consciousness will settle at the highest potential, the highest platform, the most fulfilling platform, and the difficulties of this material world will simply fade away.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.